Our reading today is from Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
Thanks, Carol. We'll just take a moment now to share something that stood out from the reading.
Okay, if I could gather your attention back in. What are some things that stood out to us from the passage? Actually, could I get the passage back on the screen? Thanks, Hayden. Oh, Mike. It's Mike. That's all right. I see you want to be up close, you know, front row seat. What stood out from the passage this morning? Just call some things out. Yvonne. Yes, seeking and not giving up on that seeking. God's generosity. Yep. Say it again. All you need to do is ask. Yeah. You can't outgive God. No, absolutely not. Say it again. Yes, it's an action passage. Ask, seek, and knock are all doing words. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool, thank you. We are in part three of our prayer series this morning. So Billy spoke to us 2 weeks ago about what is prayer, and Tobias spoke to us last week about adoration. If you didn't catch those sermons, then do check them out on the YouTube page. They're really good. And today I am talking to you about petitionary prayer. Can someone tell me what petitionary prayer means? Asking? Yep. Anything further than that? Owning? Responsibility? Yeah. Being specific, yeah. So petitionary prayer is when you ask God for something, but it's when you ask on behalf of yourself. So intercessory prayer, like what we were doing at the end of the sung worship, that is when you're asking on behalf of someone else. But petitionary prayer is about yourself and what you are asking God for yourself. So in the Lord's Prayer, which is what we're following through this prayer series, when it says, give us today our daily bread, it's Jesus is inviting us to ask God for the things that we need. And when I found out that this was my topic, I was like, what am I going to talk about? Because I find petition really hard. And I've got some things to talk about, so don't worry. I thought I'd better give it a bit more of a better go. So last week, I was on youth with Mel, and we were starting a new series up in the youth room about what it means to be in Christian community. Little side note, if you want to talk to any of the young people after church, ask them what they learned about Christian community this morning, because that's what they'll be doing. And we thought we'd start off the series with a bang, Christians eat together. And what better way to like teach that than to do it, you know? Learn by doing. So I went to the supermarket before church and I was going to get some chips and some biscuits. And I was running late, as usual, and I was running into the supermarket and I got about halfway around and I realised I had my wallet and I had my keys, but I didn't have my phone, which normally isn't a problem, except that Hayden and I are students at the moment, and the way we've chosen to organise all of our finances is that we've set up little accounts for every part of our budget. So we've got a little account for our bills and a little account for our car and a little account for our spending money, and that's just how we've chosen to organise it to make sure that we're not going to run out of money for the things that we need. And I realised that in the supermarket that we'd ordered a pizza the day before and Hayden had transferred the money for it. And, you know, we're students, so we always transfer exactly the amount we need. And I didn't think that I had the money in the right account. And I was running late and I didn't want to have to go back out to the car and get my phone to transfer the money. It's just too much detail. I'm giving you too much detail. So I was walking around the supermarket and I thought, I know, in this like challenging voice, you shouldn't challenge God, but I did. All right, God, I pray that there's going to be enough money in my account when I get to the checkout. And I got to the checkout and my card was accepted. And I share this story with caution because God is not a slot machine, right? You can't just put your prayer in and then get out the thing that you want. But the reason that I share it with you is because that was a moment for me where I realized I was really surprised that God had answered my prayer. And I realized in that moment that I'm always surprised when God answers my prayers. And I want to talk to us about a couple of the reasons why we find petition hard. And this first one I want to talk about is to do with this story, because I, deep down within me, I don't believe that God wants to or can answer my prayers. And that's why I get surprised when he does answer them. I think about, I think as well, if I'm going to ask for something, I don't want to ask and then not get it and then be disappointed. So I'd rather just not ask, which is not a very good practice. C.S. Lewis puts it like this: every war, every famine or plague, almost every deathbed is a monument to a petition that was not granted. And before this week, that's what I had within me, is that I don't want to ask a prayer because I don't want for God to not answer it. And then what does that tell me about God? And what does that tell me about me? And I don't want to talk too much about unanswered prayer because we're having a topic on that in a few weeks. I'm really looking forward to that. I think Craig is going to talk to us about that. But it's an important thing to touch on for this topic, because what you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And if you think that God is not going to answer your prayers, then you're not going to ask him. Yeah. And the passage that we had today, which is gone again. Sorry, Hayden. You could just leave it up the whole time. Great, thanks. This passage tells us what God is really like. And it's so important for us to get this straight in our heads and in our hearts. What is God really like? Our God is like a parent. Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Anyone in here, when their kid asks for a piece of bread, that you give them a stone? No, you give them a piece of bread. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Our God is a loving parent who wants to give us things. He is not a stingy parent. He is not a parent who is unable to provide for us. He is not a parent who will give us things that are bad for us. He loves us. I do some relief teaching on the side of my studying, and this week I crowdsourced some ideas for this sermon. But I love this quote that I got from one of the students. You should have faith in God and know that he will listen to you. Also, stop acting like God is a stranger. He is our Father God, so you can ask him anything. Yeah, I know, right? 10 years old, he should be up here. We have to understand what God is like, because it affects the way we ask him for stuff. And it also is important to have the right idea about who God is, because sometimes our petitions require a lot of persistence. It requires a lot of asking over a long period of time. The Greek for this passage, for ask and seek and knock, are what's called the continuous present tense. So it's not just ask, it's ask and keep on asking. It's not just seek, it's keep. It's those seek and seek on keeping. Seek and keep on seeking. And it's not just knock, it's knock and keep on knocking. So where it says, everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and those who seek and keep on seeking find, and those who knock and keep on knocking, the door will be opened to you. So it's not just a one and done. And if we have this image of God that is not quite correct, then we'll get discouraged when it doesn't happen straight away. So we have to understand God as the loving Father. Another reason we find it hard is that we often, here in New Zealand, in this day and age, we find ourselves in places where we actually don't need to ask God for stuff. How many of us this week thought to yourselves every single day, where am I going to find the food to cook my dinner? How many people turned on the tap this morning and thought, Jesus, please make this water safe for me to drink? How many people in this room stepped out of the house and prayed a little prayer for their safety as they stepped out of their doorstep? It is not a common experience in New Zealand for us to be in that much need. We have jobs, and if we don't have jobs, we have benefits, which is great. I think that's great. But we often find ourselves in places where we don't need to ask God for something. We find ourselves in a place where I can provide for myself. I don't need to ask because I can make it happen myself. And one of the things about petition is it's actually about surrendering. It's about recognizing that I have a lack, I have a need, and I can't fill it myself. I have a lack that only God can fill. And I think that's one of the reasons why we find petition hard is because we just don't need to do it. We find ourselves in places where we can fill our own needs. And there's something really beautiful when we do ask God for something. Many of you know that I live in the community house with Caleb and Billy and the three little girls, Phoebe, whose birthday it was today, running around. I love it when they ask me to do stuff for them. I love it when they ask me to help them tie their shoe or to get them a drink of water. Or the best one is when they just want to sit on my lap. There's actually something, they're not even my own children. There's just something so tender and beautiful about being asked. And I think that's how God feels about us, is that he just loves it when we ask, when we need him, and when we want him. There's something really beautiful that I've been learning that petition does in our souls. And I can't quite figure out how to explain it fully. And I think it's probably something that maybe can't be explained fully, because the work that's being done when you have a petitionary prayer is being done within your soul in a hidden place. But there's something to do with surrender and something to do with asking God for the things that I need. And there's something to do with looking to God and recognizing that he is in charge. There's something to do with that that brings my soul back into balance. And I don't think I can describe it in any other way, but the more you ask for God, the more you ask for things from God, the more your soul almost gets realigned, if that makes sense. Mm. There's a passage that I just want to read to you from Mark, and I believe that this is the message for us today. It's about blind Bartimaeus, so I'm just going to read it to you and then I'm going to talk about it. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "I want $1 million. Just kidding. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And the line that really jumps out at me, and the line that I think that God is saying to all of us this morning, is, "What do you want me to do for you?" Before Hayden and I got married, we lived in Palmerston North, and we were going to a church, and we were in a small group, and we were, as you do in your late teens and early 20s, thinking about life and what we wanted to be and all of those big overwhelming questions. And we could see around us two sort of types of people. And one of them were a group of people who we would see would call themselves Christians, and they would come to church. But we could tell talking to them that there was something that wasn't there. There was something that was missing. Compared to the other group of people that we could see who the other group of people that seemed to be filled with peace and joy. And we looked at these sort of two groups of people and we were doing lots of thinking about what's the difference between that and what do we want to be like? Do I want to be 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and have followed a trajectory of life that has led me to depend on myself and to do the right things but feel like there's something missing? Or do I want to be the kind of person who trusts in Jesus with all my heart and has the peace and joy that only he can offer? Obviously, I've done more thinking and distilling of that now, and I wouldn't have necessarily articulated it like that when I was 19, 20 years old. But I remember praying a lot with Hayden that we wanted to be on fire for Jesus, and we wanted to live our lives like we were dependent on him. We didn't want other things to be in charge of our lives. We wanted Jesus to be in charge of our lives. And we actually prayed quite a lot that we wanted that. Because back then, when Jesus was saying to me, "What do you want me to do for you?" that was my answer. I want to depend on Jesus and not on other things. And when we moved to Whanganui, I still remember this one conversation. We'd moved to Whanganui and we'd started learning about these things called community houses and how people lived in intentional discipleship together. And we started feeling a little nudge that we should think about moving into one of these places. And I remember going for a drive with Hayden. I can still remember where we were driving up towards St. John's Hill, and I felt God say to me, remind me of that prayer that I'd prayed, God help me to depend more on you, not on other things. And I felt him say, this is how I'm going to answer that prayer. He actually said that to me again last year when I was, because we sign up year by year. And I thought, come on, God, it's been 4 years now. And he's like, oh. It turns out it's a lifelong prayer that I'm going to have to be working on for a long time. And also, you know how I said at the start of the sermon that I really struggle with petitionary prayer? When I was thinking about it this week, I was like, actually, God answers my prayers all the time. Yeah, absolutely not necessarily, or in the way that I thought that he might. Yeah. What do you want me to do for you? And I think when Jesus asks us that this morning, he's not asking us about things like my story at the start about how I needed the right money on my EFTPOS card so that my transaction could go through in that moment. I think he cares about that stuff, but I think what he's wanting us to think about today is about something deeper than that. What do you want me to do for you? Because God is the creator of the whole universe. He has the power to do amazing things in your life. The God who is the perfect parent and loves you so much asks you, what do you want me to do for you? The God who created the heavens and the earth, who created everything from nothing, asks, what do you want me to do for you? The God who wants to see wholeness and goodness in your life asks you, what do you want me to do for you? Amen.